Welcome, everybody. If you're in the Northern Hemisphere, we're in our first day after the equinox of autumn, and we're rolling into the glorious, warm, balmy season of last blow before winter comes. And it's a wonderful season, and here in Sedona, it's a spectacular season with the colors and the Red Rock Hills and the beautiful crisp air. Well, it's just a wonderful day, and I hope you're having a wonderful day as well. This will be a very, very powerful and special blessing today because there is a natural balance that occurs at this time of year, whether it's in autumn, as we're having in the Northern Hemisphere, or in spring, as is happening for those of you in South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, and other points south. So we thank you for being with us and going the extra distance and making the extra effort to reach around the planet and be here in great love and joy and expectation for the blessings of Christ. Now, the beautiful time about right in the equinox really happened yesterday early in the morning, but the effects of it touch us for a few days before and a few days after. So, in a sense, we're still in it. And it's a balance point where the days are equal to the nights. And the south is equal to the north. We are in a state of equilibrium with the sun, and we're in a state of equilibrium with our Earth's own electromagnetic field and polarity. Now, that offers a lot of benefits to everyone for balancing your body, balancing your heart, letting go of old issues that have just dragged on too long, and opening yourself up for new optimism. I think most people feel a sense of optimism both after the spring equinox and the fall. And the reason that happens is because the imbalance we've carried for months from the solstice, whichever one it was, is actually becoming a load. We complete a lot of things during the summer or the winter, but then we need to release and be in the bliss of the autumn or the spring. This is where we are right now, and I find that in this season, we're more able to center ourselves, to open, to receive, to have closure, and also to have open arms to new opportunity. So with that spirit in mind, we're going to embrace a very special and high-frequency blessing, and we actually can take in more energy with less possibility of it imbalancing us in any way. So here we are, joined together in love, hope, prayer, and great expectation. I would love to hear from, I'd love to have comments from the audience if you'd like to speak and share what's going on in your part of the world. Otherwise, I will just keep on with my message until we get a little closer to the blessing time. And don't feel that you're interfering with me, because I always take your comments to move toward what needs to be said on this day, what needs to be in our heart. And as I'm waiting for, okay, there's Elizabeth. Hi, Elizabeth, and welcome to the call. You're on, Elizabeth.
Sorry, my phone was muted. Can you hear me?
We can now.
Okay, thank you. I don't know if my question is appropriate, but I was watching this show on Jesus recently, and they were showing him as he was during the crucifixion, as he was, I just watched a little bit of it. He was carrying the board across his shoulders, and the Roman soldier kicked him down, and it was very hard to watch. But my question to you is, how was Yeshua not able to hate the Roman soldiers who crucified him? Because I find I get into hate when people are doing me wrong, and I don't want to be that way because all it does is poison me, and I don't want to, you know. So I was wondering what you had to say about how he was not able to hate the people who wronged him.
Oh, that's a very good question, and I can't answer from the inside of his heart on how he could.
Okay.
But I can direct you to this larger understanding, and that is, when we take the bigger picture, we always have a more positive orientation on life. For example, well, he told us to love our enemies. That was one of his teachings, is to realize that our enemies are actually no different than us. They're humans struggling to find their place in the world, and sometimes they do it in the wrong way, in a destructive way, in an abusive or hostile way. But when we love them, what happens is that we go to a much bigger perspective where we can find a place for both them and ourselves. But what happens when we hate them is we become the result of their antagonism or their destruction. In other words, we become a pawn in their game, and we become players in the small picture. We become the player in this tiny picture of competition of four dogs for one bone, where the dogs are very vicious and they fight each other. Now, the right approach to that is to realize there's never just one bone, and how in the world did we ever get into fighting over the idea that there's only one bone? I will hold to the bigger picture. I'll look to the bigger opportunity. I'll be the one that finds a better and bigger supply here. Now, there was one event in Yeshua's life when I'm not sure he succumbed so much as created a response of hostility, and that's when he turned over the tables in the temple. This was during the Passion Week, and this, I believe, and most scholars who studied his life believe, it was a strategic move on his part to antagonize the people who would be necessary to bring about his arrest, his betrayal, and eventually his crucifixion. He had to join their game. He had to play their game. He had to fight back. He had to play at their level in order to get them to act on him. You see, I think he was virtually immune to attacks. When he did not play at that level, he was virtually immune. If you look at the response of Pontius Pilate, he would say, well, I don't find any problem in this man. I don't see anything in this man that I would want to crucify. And that's because Yeshua lived his life at such a big level. How do you climb up to the stars and attack the Pleiades? You just don't. You can't get big enough to bring the Pleiades down to earth where you shoot an arrow at it. And this is what he was teaching us, is just be bigger than the problem. Be bigger than the situation. And you'll find that out on the bigger parameters of life, there's really nothing to hate. And the solutions are always in the bigger specter of life, where we have more options, more opportunities, and more players in a bigger game. But what happens when people attack us, or they abuse us, or they insult us or they hurt our feelings is we go right into that small gang. And then we've given up our power to people who were unkind to us. And that's what we hate. We get so mad at ourselves. Why did I once more give up my power to someone who abused me? Does that pretty much describe the problem, Elizabeth?
Yes, that is so helpful to me. Very, very much so. Thank you so much. That was awesome.
You're welcome, my dear. And try to live in the bigger picture.
Okay,
and look at the illustration of Yeshua's life. The only way he could stir up enough antagonism to even arrest him was to fight back on the level of the lowest common denominator. He was so big, not even the Roman, not even the Roman government wanted to assault him.
Yeah.
And love makes us big.
Yes.
Hate makes us small. So keep that in mind.
Yes, that was awesome. Thank you very much.
You're very, very welcome. And Margaret is on the line. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, Glenda. It's Marguerite Calaway, and I'm sorry I've not been on your calls, but I was actually working in South Africa for the last 7 weeks. And,
that's awesome.
Well, and I could get the blessings. I could get the blessings after the fact, but they were happening close to midnight, and I had to be up and working on Monday morning and so on. But I wanted to just reemphasize and reassert exactly what you were saying is I feel as though what's happening globally right now is everybody is, whether it's political issues or economic issues, is people are contracting to the smaller picture. And as soon
Absolutely.
As you contract to the smaller picture, it will inevitably result in conflict. And what is needed, my observation is what is needed is that people, just as Yeshua did, it is that we need to show another way
mm-hmm.
of doing things. So I came through Spain just briefly, and there's some very interesting things that are going on in Spain right now is people are creating time banks in the communities. They have high levels of unemployment. So people are putting time in if you're a dentist, if you're somebody who can take care of young children, or you have something that can be offered. People are working together collectively, looking beyond that we don't have cash, but we have services we can help one another with. And I just think that part of what is happening in during these challenging times is different solutions are being
Absolutely.
Born.
That is so great because, you know, the fact is we will always have people who need care and help. But the more we can do it on a community level or regional level where we see and know the people we help, the more meaningful it is. And another thing we have to remember as we care and support people is to learn the difference between compassion and getting into feeling sorry for people and the dramas they create around that. Let me give you an illustration that has no political implications whatsoever. It comes from my early life when I was observing my young nieces and nephews. They would be out playing, and they would fall and skin a knee. And they'd fall and skin a knee and get up and go about their business playing some more and never even notice the pain. But if there was an adult out there who showed sympathy toward the fact that they had fallen and skinned their knee, they would start crying like babies. You see, what happens is that we pull into the small picture of what we are when we can engage another person in feeling sorry for us. Our parents and grandparents' generation knew nothing about that. They knew how to offer people a hand up and also to offer people a helping hand on all things. But they didn't do it in such a way as to enable dependency or enable realities that got people locked into small pictures of being helpless. And we have an international healing ministry where we support healing work all over the world through Miracle Solution. We get feedback from our ministers out there and from our friend Jim Humble, who developed MMS, and others out there serving. And what the stories we get back are the nobility of people who really have almost nothing, but they still have the grandeur of helping themselves and taking care of one another. This is what Yeshua taught us to do, to love one another as ourselves and to love God with all our heart. And to create around that the local service industries, the local service support. And I know you're dealing with that, Marguerite, and that is just awesome that you're out there on the front lines and you're able to see how this is done. Because ultimately, in the end, this is what we have to do. We have to care for people one-on-one, on the front lines, where it's needed, in such a way as to create and reinforce the nobility of the human spirit, even though at times our life needs special support. So thank you for that, Marguerite, and giving me an opportunity to respond. And we have, hi Dale, I see Dale, you're on the line. This is our Bishop Dale Meissen from Grapevine, Texas.
Yes, I wanted to make a quick announcement. I decided to bite the bullet and start a Love Without End study group here. So if there's anybody out there in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, I've started it through the organization called Meetup. They have a zillion different types of interest groups, but if you go online and do a search for Meetup and Love Without End, you'll find the group and you can join it. And I'd like to at least have a meeting once a month, maybe two or three times a month, and cover the topics and chapters of Love Without End. So it's an open invitation to whomever, and I'd love to hear from people. My email direct, if you want to contact me direct, is DaleMeissen@gmail, and I'll spell it DaleMeissen@gmail.com, and I can hook you up that way.
That's terrific, and I'll send out some kind of notice to that. When is your first meeting, Dale?
I have tentatively set it for October 9th, which is a Tuesday at 7 p.m., and I may end up, you know, trying to do them Sundays just before, say, an hour or two starting before the blessing call, so people can also engage in that as well. But I got to see what works best for most people to be able to attend.
That's a terrific idea. I'll put a notice in our next meditation newsletter so that people in the Texas area can join. And, you know, the roads are so good in Texas. You could be almost anywhere and occasionally make this meeting and meet friends. I really, really recommend it. And while you're in Fort Worth, you can go see the Lamb and the Lion. And I'm sure Dale and his wife Karen would just love to give you a map on how to get there. So that's just terrific. And anyone else wanting to start study groups, just know that we will support you to the best we can. So we have another. Ann Graham is on our line. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Glenda. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very, very much for continuing to hold these wonderful Sunday afternoon inspirational, spiritual, uplifting messages. I live in a small community in Northern California, and I've only been here for a couple of years. And in the last few months, I've noticed that there's a lot of loss around here. Four people have lost their spouses, one their mother. My sister had to put down her dog. Another close friend of mine had to put down her dog. Today is the anniversary of my husband's death. And as a result, I've decided to create a bereavement group, which starts next week. And I thought it was apropos, being as you've been talking about community and taking care of each other, and I'm learning about that up here. But I wanted to ask you if you had any input on this bereavement group.
Well, that's a big subject in itself, Anne. If you would write me questions@lovewithoutend.com, I'll send you information that I have.
Oh, wonderful. Okay.
I think it's a little, it may be running a little parallel to the interest of our blessing attendees today, and it could take on a lot of time.
Okay.
But I'll be really happy to help you, and I do have a little bit of information that I can send you in the way of links.
I figured you would.
But it's a great idea, and I want to encourage all of you, whether it's a Love Without End group, a blessing group, a bereavement group, a relationship repair group, how to have a better family life group, I really encourage all of you to start creating and joining community support groups, because the grassroots movement is what is actually going to pull our country and our world out of its rut. These problems the problems we're in cannot be handled by big government. They just simply can't, and it doesn't matter which brand of big government we're talking about. I'm not making a political statement here or saying one over the other. Big government can't handle what's wrong, what's needed in the world and what we need to get in the world. The fact is, we lost touch with one another. Through decades of having abundance and having video time at home and not going out socially and emails instead of telephone calls and being more indifferent and all the different things we stopped doing to care for one another, we lost touch with each other. And we cannot stay out of touch with each other and then go bankrupt to pay some independent agency to come in and take care of our business of loving and caring for one another. That's a violation of Yeshua's two commandments. The only two he ever gave us is love each other as ourself and love God with all your heart. When you do that, the world heals. And we can heal no matter what branch of ideology we're in, no matter what country we're in, no matter what we think the future should be, actually the real future, whatever it is, which none of us really know right now, should be a product of the highest and the best evolution. And the highest and best evolution will come from loving one another and loving God with all our heart. And that is what we have to have faith in as we move from one day to the next, one year to the next, making all the critical decisions that we have to make. And we have many critical decisions lying ahead of us on the road. And now is a great time to balance ourselves and really look at, if I could have the life I wanted in the state of perfect balance, what would it really be? Would it be all the things I wanted to have? Or would it be the quality of life I've always wanted to have? With the friends and the connection and the peace of mind and the love and the poetic approach to life and the joy and the health. How would I define the life I would really like to have? How would I do that? In this state of balance is a wonderful way to do that. And it's a great way of actually invoking the blessings of the Creator. Because God only wants the best for you. The very best, and from a state of ultimate and optimum balance. That's the way the will of God works. So this is an incredibly potent time of the year for praying and being in that kind of prayer, which we will bring into the blessing call. And thank you so much for offering that. Ingrid, we have just a few minutes. We have two callers left. Ingrid's the next one.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Glenda. I actually don't have a question, but I just want to say how thankful I am for all the insight and wisdom and from the seminars and the books and even your portrait of Yeshua. It has so awakened me to the loving presence of God within and all around me and further than I'll ever know. And it truly has transformed me and my whole life and awakened me to the consciousness of life, of heaven on earth. And that's just what Marguerite just said, that she has this group where people help each other. We do that a lot right here in my little community, and it is amazing how almost every need is being met from everybody. It is just totally amazing.
It is amazing how miracles can happen with one person who decides to make a difference and lives life from their heart, from the inside out, loving one another as the opportunities arise. And then you bring the second person in to form an agreement with that goal, an agreement with that value. Oh, my goodness, Ingrid, you can change the world.
Yes. It's totally, it is so amazing. I just wanted to say the biggest thank you from my heart.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. And really, that's basically the strength of Yeshua. He came into this world not at all interested in the small picture. He was interested in the big picture. And to this day, he holds the flame for the ultimate evolution of the human spirit. He holds a hand down to lift us up. And he reminded, on the day before the evening of the arrest, as Mary Magdalene, we believe it was Mary Magdalene. We're not absolutely sure, but all the indicators seem to suggest she was the one that anointed his feet with the oil and wiped them clean with her hair. And the price of that oil could have fed a poor person for a year. That's how expensive. Essential oil has always been very expensive, especially if it's good, and that was extremely rare. And Judas criticized her. He jumped all over her, and he said, "Why are you doing that? That oil could have been sold to give to the poor." In other words, Judas's orientation was on the handout. Yeshua's orientation was on the hand up. He said, "You will not always have me with you. Celebrate me while I'm here." And he said that knowing that he would always be with us, providing our connection with him as he gives us a hand up. You see, I think he came to earth with one hand always in the hand of God. He was always in a hand up position, reaching down to the earth, being here, walking among us with one hand, holding on to the Father God. Yet he walked among us. He always reached up. He always looked up. He always saw the big picture. This is what made him invulnerable until right at the end. He cultivated his embedding in the small picture in order to bring the attack upon him, in order to finally descend into the depths of total human suffering, that he would be even there with us. But the result of it was he arose. And then he ascended again into the hand up position. He has always been the flame of our human evolutionary updraft that takes us to the higher, the bigger plane where we rise above our fears, our doubts, our hatreds, our fights, and our sense of lack, which we get into when we get too burrowed into the tiny picture, down at the tiny plane of earth issues and earth conflicts. And I am so glad, Ingrid, that you let him lift you up and give you the quality of life he's always wanted to give to all of us. And it's here now. We can have it now. We just have to ask for it. And we are actually at the time of our blessing, and I have one last caller left. Desmond, can you make this real quick?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you, Glenda, and you really hold the space of that community that you talk about, and thank you very much.
You are so welcome, and I'm so glad you're going to be at the Blessing Seminar. Congratulations, and thanks to all of those who stepped up to help Desmond be here.
Thank you so much.
You are welcome. And now what we're going to do is we're going to get into our... So here we are, everyone, shoes and socks off, feet on the ground, and have your head, the top of your head lifted to heaven. Remember, we are receiving blessings from our Holy Sacred Father into our hearts, surrounding and encircling our heart, flowing into the earth, where they are received and anchored by our Mother, from whom all blessings of material substance flow and blessings of physical life flow. And thank you. Thank you, our Mother. Thank you, our Father. And we say thank you to the Holy Spirit, who is in us in every cell of our body, who fills our consciousness and leads us along the pathways of life into better and higher ways of living. Now we surrender. We set our mind on the park bench so we think no more, and we be in the presence of our Holy Father. Begin your prayer. I will say my invocation to Yeshua, and then the blessing givers and I, we will conduct the energy that accelerates the flow of the Holy Spirit through you. But remember, I and the other blessing givers are but receiving antennas. It is the Holy Spirit, the love of God, and the blessing of Yeshua, the strength of our earth, and the richness of her that will heal and fill and expand your life. Dear Yeshua, you are our brother, our friend, our companion for life, the one who is with us in our heart to give us strength and courage to live every day as it unfolds, in the way it unfolds, without conflict, because we are looking for the bigger picture and not succumbing to the fight of those who challenge us. We know that we must find our life, live our life, and fulfill our life, person to person, loving others as we love ourselves. And that in itself defines our place in life, that and our love of God. Now we surrender to the love of God, that it may fill us, that it may heal us, and expand our life to its highest and best and largest perspective. We ask these things in your blessed name. Amen. Your energetic conveyance is complete. Now go and rest for 7 minutes. Remember not to think. Just rest, and it's okay if you go to sleep. But just allow your body, heart, and soul to be infilled with the blessings that have been given to you for the betterment of your life, for your happiness, and your fulfillment. Know that you're loved, and I look forward to seeing you again next week.